Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, David Noble asked a really good question. What variant does he supposedly have? Oh, sure, he got COVID. Oh, that's why they're flying him back to the basement. That's why he flew the coop. Oh, and it was just a cold. Yeah, it was just a cold. That's why he had such a poor debate performance. Man, interesting. I just started flipping through the Politico playbook here. Yeah, I've been hearing some of these headlines, but this is what Politico, which is, of course, you know, a center-left news outlet back on Capitol Hill, is reporting here. I should have kept the headline page. But anyway, they basically are saying that the walls are closing in on Joe Biden. This is straight out of the playbook this morning. For weeks, the Democrat Party has been paralyzed by uncertainty about whether President Joe Biden should stay atop the ticket or step aside. But over the last 24 hours, that uncertainty has given way to a growing clarity about the reality facing the president. The walls are closing in, and his position leading the Democrat ticket appears increasingly unsustainable. The president's reelection bid has now lost the confidence of Congress's senior-most Democrat leaders, as well as party elders around the country. Yesterday alone, Politico reports, ABC News' John Carl reporting that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries told Biden in person that he should end his reelection campaign for the good of the country. CNN reporting that former Speaker Nancy Pelosi telling the president that he cannot win and is dragging down the party, jeopardizing potential majorities in Congress. And old Shifty Schiff, Adam Schiff, the Democrat out of California, Pelosi's longtime protege, became the latest Hill Democrat to publicly call on Biden to step aside, arguing that he has, quote, serious concerns about whether the president can defeat Donald Trump and that it is, quote, time for him to pass the torch. But here's the thing, though. I don't know who was it. Was it Hannity that said it? Was it one of the speakers last night who said it? They made the point. I think it was former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. The problem facing our country is not Joe Biden's brain. The problem is Joe Biden's policies. And Joe Biden's policies are Chuck Schumer's policies, are Hakeem Jeffries' policies, are Nancy Pelosi's policies, are Adam Schiff's policies. And Adam Schiff just hosted a $700,000 Los Angeles fundraiser with his buddy, liberal Senator John Tester. So every single one of these policies that are failing our country are John Tester's policies. All right, what do you want to talk about here on this Thursday morning? We've got phone lines open for you. I've got one guest joining us this hour of the show, and it'll be a very quick conversation. Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio is going to join us. Previewing day four of the Republican National Convention from Milwaukee. So he'll be with us here in a few minutes. But the rest of the time, I will have the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
Securing America.
A panel at the Aspen Security Forum in Colorado Wednesday focused on space and national security. Lieutenant General Jeff Cruz, the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, says China has emerged as America's chief rival in space, and that the Chinese aim is to replace the U.S. as the global leader in space.
And to exploit space in a way that is to our detriment.
But General Stephen Whiting, the commander of U.S. Space Command, says a key factor in America's favor is the U.S.'s commercial space industry.
It is a massive strategic advantage for us.
However, when it comes to the military in space, General Whiting admits all countries are learning as they go.
Unlike in the air, the maritime, and the ground domains, where we have hundreds of years of history and we have very robust training infrastructures, we don't have that in space.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
KLZ.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is definitely a random start here for the 8 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. But, hey, that's all right. That's why we like keeping the phone lines open. We want to hear what you want to talk about. Let's see. First up on the phone lines here, we've got Randy calling in from Billings. Wants to say something about the Lake Elmo Little Homes or something to that effect. Randy, thanks for the call. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, I just happened to drive by a side street off of Lake Elmo back in there, and here's a 6-foot chain link fence around a large area, and it's got hundreds of little iPod 1- and 2-bedroom homes, and it says home front on it. Of course, I didn't know that our state government or federal government was supposed to be in competition with small businesses, but you know, they're, I don't know if it's for the illegals that are coming in or if it's for homeless or what, but somebody should be looking into that, I would say.
So is that, I'm assuming it must still be under construction. I'm assuming that's why there's a fence around it, because it's probably a construction project and they don't want their, you know, their equipment or their materials getting stolen. Is that probably why there's still a fence around it?
No, they're actually staging them there, storing them there. They're stacked and right next to each other. I mean, you could even hardly walk between them. Like I say, there's hundreds of them.
Oh, I see. So it's more of like a storage unit.
Well, no, they're little. They advertise right on them that they're 1- and 2-bedroom.
They're little homes, but they're being stored there. Like they're not selling them for people to live right there, right now. Is the point, right?
Right. That's correct. And then when I looked in to see who owned the property, actually, it shows Homefront Incorporated owns that property. So it's kind of interesting to have that right inside of a residential area.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I'm assuming that you know, as people are trying to deliver, you know, more affordable housing. I know I've read a few stories over the past few months about you know, smaller homes and how they're, you know, there's different developers that are trying to pursue this in order to bring about more affordable housing. Kind of reminds me of the early mining days in Montana history, you know, when you'll see some of those smaller homes that are still around from back in the day then, right, as they needed more housing for all the people that were coming to Montana to produce the materials that our country was going to need. You know, what I find interesting, too, is I don't know if you heard the, you know, Farm and Ranch report on the radio earlier this morning, Randy, down in Nevada. The Biden Bureau of Land Management has now greenlighted. They are going to be taking public land. I'm assuming it's BLM land since it was a BLM decision, and they are going to be putting public housing on the BLM land. And as I heard that news report, I think it was either our friend Lane Norlin or Russell Nimitz who had shared that news report. I just couldn't help but react by saying, "Oh, wow." These same Biden BLM bureaucrats that don't want you grazing your cattle on public land, that don't want you riding your dirt bike on some public lands, that don't want you logging on some public lands. Boy, they have no problem whatsoever taking that same public land, chewing it up, spitting it out, and putting public housing on that public land. Yeah, can you imagine the environmental analysis that you would have to go through if you wanted to do something on that same public land? But hey, they'll chew it up and spit it out for government housing in a heartbeat. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Next up, let's go to Steve in Kalispell. Steve, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Aaron, I wanted to get your take on this. If you have a proposed target and you want to have a way to take him out without taking responsibility for it, and an asset just happens to show up who's ready to do your deed for you, and all you have to do is put your target in the theater, what's that called?
put your target in the theater, you said?
Theater. The theater in this case is the stage. And the asset is already in place before the target was brought to the stage. And the asset was allowed to stay there until the asset pulled the trigger.
So, yeah, I mean, this whole, obviously what you're referring to is this, I mean, some of the headlines here, the security, law enforcement, Secret Service, they had this would-be assassin in their sights. This is one headline here from the DailyWire.com. Would-be assassin was caught bringing laser rangefinder into Trump rally 3 hours before the shooting. I mean, they had a lot of lead time that this guy was a threat. Apparently, the snipers had this guy in their sights, and yet he was able to pop off multiple shots. And now you've got a Secret Service director, this DEI hire, Kim Cheadle, who's refusing to answer any questions whatsoever, practically.
So, oops, sorry, we're the Keystone Cops. We couldn't help ourselves. That's what we're getting here. And it is a real convenient way to pull off something. And the only thing, you know, Joe Biden was looking for an act of God to surrender his candidacy. We've had an act of God,
which was saving the life of Donald J. Trump by a mere millimeter.
That 15-degree turn of his head is what saved his life. Okay? So here we have a situation. And my brother and I talk about this a lot. We say, you know, they failed on every attempt to take this guy down. They try to bankrupt him. They try to throw him in jail. Everything they've got is falling apart. What's left?
Well, and why is it that just now, all of a sudden, all these leading Democrats are now starting to say that Joe has to step out of the race? It's as if they tried everything else and none of it is working. In fact, it's only emboldened and empowered the Trump campaign even further. Yeah, lots of questions folks have for obvious. So this was the question I left folks with after Wednesday's show. It was a question remaining from last week. You mean to tell me that they're spending $500,000 a day operating one migrant shelter alone on our southern border, but $20,000 a day for the St. Mary Siphon Water Project on Montana's High Line is too much for a temporary replacement? Just a question I threw out there. Montana Talks, we take you statewide every Monday through Friday, 9 to 10, right here.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, no, thanks, Stephen Kalispell, for the phone call. We went right up to the hard break there. But, yeah, look, at some point, the reason why people are raising questions beyond just a screw-up here is, how do you screw up this badly? How do you have this many mistakes, this many obvious mistakes? That's why people are raising even more questions. And then now, to not get answers out of the director of the Secret Service, I mean, Marsha Blackburn, a senator from Kentucky, and John Barrasso, a senator from Wyoming, they weren't getting any answers from the Secret Service director. So they tried actually talking to her in person when she crashed the RNC convention, and even still she refused to even talk to them.
This is exactly what we were doing today.
This was a
stonewalling
attempt. You owe the people answers. You owe President Trump.
All right, and then you see the Secret Service director completely ignore these two United States senators and just simply walk away. Apparently, she was quoted as saying, well, this wasn't the right place to discuss this stuff. Okay, you don't need to give a classified briefing, but you can at least answer some basic questions, or at least stop and say hi, show some decency and common courtesy to two United States senators. I mean, just unbelievable. Just days after an assassination attempt that was nearly pulled off on a president of the United States, now a presidential candidate. All right. Yeah, that took place at the Republican National Convention. We'll get back to your phone calls here in just a few minutes. But speaking of the Republican National Convention, Jeff Manasso has been on the ground reporting for us for Fox News Radio. He's now with us, joining us live. Jeff, thanks for being with us. Day three, and then now heading into day four.
Hey, Aaron. Good morning. Good to be with you. So, yeah, it was a kid from
Oh, I think you muted there for a second.
Live.
There we go. Yeah, you muted there for just a second. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and restart for us if you don't mind. Yeah.
Oh, well, I was just saying that whether you like J.D. Vance, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, I think you can appreciate that it was a kid from Appalachia last night in his shining moment, the biggest moment of his life. In the third day of the Republican National Convention, where J.D. Vance officially accepted the Republican nomination for vice president, and portraying a night of hope, a celebration of what America children and our grandchildren. Those are his words. And he talked about his life of humble beginnings. His wife, Usha, spoke. I think one of the most powerful moments last night was when J.D. introduced his mother, Beverly, who was clearly in awe of that moment. Again, if you've seen the movie, if you've read his book, Hillbilly Elegy, you can appreciate the look on her face as her son accepted the nomination for vice president of the United States. Vance telling President Trump that he will never take for granted the trust he put into J.D. and portrayed Trump as America's last best hope to restore what, if lost, may never be found again.
Yeah, powerful stuff. I mean, you know, I think so many of us can identify with that, especially here in Montana. I mean, we've been hit by the opioid epidemic and the Mexican drug cartels, much like, you know, these states that are sometimes referred to as the Rust Belt have. And, you know, we've been targeted by some of the same anti-coal policies that J.D. Vance has been speaking out about. So I know certainly folks back here strongly identify with his message. The other thing that I thought stood out from last night was President Trump's granddaughter talking about her grandpa just as a grandpa. It was one of the nice lighter moments of the convention.
Yeah, it was fun to see. She humanized her Donald Trump, who she calls grandpa, saying that, you know, he's the guy that gives us soda and candy when mom and dad aren't looking. You know, we can all appreciate that. Matt, I got to be honest with you too. You know, I've done many of these before, these conventions over the years, and this one does feel different. The tone is different, and the look on President Trump's face has changed noticeably. I believe, following his brush with death, there's a somberness in his expression that I'm not sure we've seen before. And when he's got family members on stage, the people that he's close to, the people that he loves, you can see a different Donald Trump. And whether or not that shows up tonight, we'll find out. But I can tell you this, the theme is Make America Great Once Again. And his speech was going to go after Joe Biden. In his own words, he had a bunch of dingers ready for Joe Biden. But after his assassination attempt, threw out that speech, completely has rewritten it, and it will not focus on Joe Biden. It's going to focus on unity, and that's the sense that you're getting here at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And much of the speeches that we're hearing from people, you know, those are the same speeches that we heard decades ago from Democrats. It's focusing on the common man, your everyday average American, and the plight of Americans today in the economy and going after Wall Street and creating jobs and being energy independent. And so I would expect to hear more about that. Some interesting things happened last night. We heard from Peter Navarro, a former Trump aide who was just released from prison on a J6 contempt charge for refusing to testify. He says, if Democrats can do it to me, they can do it to you. We heard from Gold Star families of military members killed during the Afghan withdrawal disaster and family members of Americans still being held hostage in Gaza, with a crowd of thousands chanting, bring them home. We heard chants of send them back when Texas Governor Greg Abbott spoke on the effects of President Biden's border crisis. A 98-year-old guy, World War II veteran, William Perkle, he's a Milwaukee resident, vowing to reenlist if Donald Trump becomes president again.
That was great. I saw him with his infantry blue cord on his right shoulder there and his dress uniform. And, he captured a lot of hearts last night as well. What you just said about President Trump, looking like a new man, having a different look in his eye, But I tell you, that's what our callers, we've been talking about that all week long at random times, because there is, you're right, there's, everybody sees it. There's even Chuck Todd on MSNBC, the never-Trumper Chuck Todd, was saying that he's got a different look about him. And so it's going to be interesting to see how what we see tonight when President Trump takes the stage.
Last thing I'll leave you with, new poll in Wisconsin shows Trump leading by 5 points. That's outside the margin of error. Democrats have spent a lot of time here in Milwaukee, a lot of resources pouring it into the state of Wisconsin as they try to hold on to Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. J.D. Vance's newly wrapped campaign plane that he's going to receive once he leaves Milwaukee and goes on the first leg of his campaign stretch in Michigan over the weekend with Trump. That plane's going to be parked in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania a whole lot leading up to November.
And he speaks right to those voters in what some have referred to as those rust belt states that have been rusted out by the very policies Donald Trump has been speaking out against for decades. Now, Jeff Manasso, thanks for the reporting on the ground. Always a pleasure.
You bet.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I know one call that we should be receiving later on in the 9 o'clock hour from Milwaukee. We've been catching up with Montanans all week long. Stacy Zinn, who headed up the DEA here in Montana before retiring, she was on the ground in Milwaukee very early. And there's a reason she showed up early. And so we'll talk about that and much more. But let's go back to your phone calls here, 294-0970. Bill in Billings next up. Bill, what's going on?
Well, you know, last week I got my Rural Montana magazine from the electric co-ops that they put out every month. And they ask a question of Tester and Sheehy. And the question is, if elected, what would your energy priorities be for your term as U.S. Senator? Well, of course, 2 years ago, they asked that same question, basically, of Tester and Gaines.
Hmm.
And you know what old flip-flop said 2 years ago? He said that man-caused global warming is the number one threat to our country, and we've got to shut everything down to stop it. What do you think he said now in an election year? Here's
the
opening little thing, and I'll quote it. America is stronger when we are energy independent, plain and simple. I've always supported an all-of-the-above energy approach so that we can keep energy costs low and protect our energy security. That flip-flopper, do you want to hear what
a phony
answer was?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
We must focus on unleashing American energy. And then later on he says, we're seeing job-killing Green New Deal mandates driving up inflation, threatening to shut down Colstrip and crushing Montanans across the state, with Senator John Tester voting 95% of the time for Biden's damaging policies.
Nice.
You know, that man's got a lot of nerve the way he can lie.
John Tester is such a phony. He's such a fraud. And some people still fall for it. I was talking with a really nice guy yesterday, and I think he's just always been a Democrat, and so he's just still going to vote that way. I don't think there's anything that convinces him, but a nice enough guy, you know. But I don't even know. There's some people out there that they don't even care how phony John Tester is. They actually admire his phoniness because they know that's how he's gotten elected over the years. Bill, I also got a question for you. If you can take a photograph. I've got the latest Rural Montana magazine myself, but take a photograph of the one from 2 years ago along with the one from today, if you can, because it sounds like you've got it in front of you, and send it to me. Email it to me or send it as a message on the Montana Talks app, because I would love to show that to our listeners, to show another flip-flop from the flip-flop flat top, the fake moderate John Tester. Craig in Paradise Valley, stand by. We'll get to Craig in Paradise Valley right after this. We got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or message us on the Montana Talks app. Plus, I've got RNC convention highlights for you as well. Hey, just like Wayne and Garth in Wayne's World, I'm hoping that Don Kay and Troy Downing can do a little Laverne and Shirley theme song video for us. They're back in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. Had a great time catching up with both of them and more callers, you name it. They were with us on Wednesday's Montana Talks. If you missed that, or frankly, if you missed any of our shows, you can find it all on the Montana Talks podcast. Get the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, or yeah, you can see it on Spotify, too.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see, real quick before we jump back into the phone lines here. So I'm paraphrasing, of course, but Bill and Billings called in. And so a question was thrown to Liberal Senator John Tester and to a Republican Senate candidate, Tim Sheehy. And Bill, am I right? It was something to the effect of, what will your energy policy be? Something like that, right? Like, well, tell us about your energy policy. What would your energy policy be? We don't even need to ask John Tester what his energy policy would be, because we already see what his energy policy is. He's already there. He's been there for nearly two decades. It's Green New Deal scams. It's killing Colstrip 1 and 2 and now putting 3 and 4 in their sights as well. It's killing the Keystone XL pipeline and the union jobs that went along with it. That is John Tester's energy policy. He can flip-flop all he wants, but that's the reality. That's the facts. Let's go to Craig in Paradise Valley. Craig, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, 2 points, Aaron. How you doing today?
Hey, great. Yeah, hope you're doing well.
Good. First one being, since you're on John Tester subject, did you see our United States Senator on Q2 News this morning in a crappy old work shirt, unironed, and just looked like a slob? Do you think Steve Daines would ever appear on television without his suit on, or at least a nice dress shirt? I mean, what the heck?
Well, he's an engineer, so it'd be probably be a nice plaid something, right?
Yeah, right.
No, isn't it funny? It's like John Tester, he has to put on this act. He has to pretend when he comes back here. We just saw him sitting, you know, bellied up to the bar at the Bistro B in D.C., slamming pink drink vodka cranberries after he probably got dropped off in his Toyota Prius. But, oh, no.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't see him on that interview. But I know that morning show anchor is a big liberal, and her uncle did a TV commercial for John Tester. Did she ask him any tough questions?
Well, it wasn't her. It was Casey.
Oh, okay.
Casey Conley.
Oh, Casey's a good guy. Okay. Was he able to ask any good questions, any tough questions? I know sometimes they get told not to.
I put the channel whenever I have to listen to his lies. But here, I want to get this other point out that's really important. Did anyone see our President Joe Biden, who was confirmed COVID case, get off the Air Force One yesterday with no mask on?
I know. And what the heck?
Get in, and yet no one around him had masks on, and none of the people helping him in the cars had masks on either.
Yeah.
And we shut the country down over masks. And how many vaccines did you get?
How many times has he been boosted? Did you get your booster? Where's your mask?
Yeah.
Here he is walking down the short stairs, by the way, not the big stairs.
Yeah,
he was walking down
the belly on the first floor.
And he had to have a guy help him get off.
The luggage compartment.
So they can drive him back to the basement. And yeah, here he is. He just tested positive for COVID. At least that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
That's what their excuse is.
Exactly.
All the big news alerts that came out yesterday, Joe Biden tests positive for COVID. The collective eye roll. The collective eye roll across the country. Yeah.
Yeah. Not one mask on all them four people on the plane with COVID. He's, you know. Yeah. What a phony.
Well, or even let's go back to the debate. Remember when he said he had a cold and that's why he had such a bad debate performance?
Yeah, right.
Well, how does he know it was a cold and it wasn't COVID-19 and it wasn't something? But first off, like, even if it was just a cold, if Donald Trump did that to Joe Biden, they would have claimed that Donald Trump just committed an assassination attempt against Joe Biden by showing up sick. And he would have exposed all the CNN anchors and the production crews. That's what they would have claimed if Donald Trump claimed that he showed up sick to the debate, right?
Yeah. I wonder if Fauci was on the plane with him.
Yeah. No, it's. I'm so glad you point out that hypocrisy and just, I mean, look at what they did to harm this economy, to harm kids, to harm this country, and to bow down to the communist Chinese with masks and lockdowns and mandates. And then here he is, oh, I got COVID, and then not wearing a mask, not isolating. Just an excuse to shove the guy back into the bunker. Craig, thanks for the call. We got Owen in Terry. Owen, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? It's Owen. Hey, I was just kind of curious because J.D. Vance wasn't anywhere on my radar. And I don't know why, because I consider myself pretty informed, but... Am I just silly for not thinking that J.D. Vance can be vice president or what?
So you think because he's too new and it's like, wow, why is he being thrown in this position if he's so new and kind of still relatively new on the national radar? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Well, I mean, I just didn't see him anywhere on my radar. I mean, I would have probably preferred somebody maybe like Candace Owens, especially coming up against the vice president debate. I think that would have been awesome, but it just totally shocked me when he was chosen, and I'm kind of sat back by it because I mean he seems like he's going to be great because he's pretty wit-minded, I guess, but I don't understand how come it was such a big surprise to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if it's because in part, you know, I mean, he won a major U.S. Senate race back in Ohio. He was kind of seen as this outsider. You're a Marine veteran, too, if I remember right. Right, Owen?
That is correct.
Yeah. So that's cool. So he's a Marine veteran. He got kind of well known for that book, Hillbilly Elegy. And so in a lot of those circles, you know, back in the media, a lot of people knew who he was because he's kind of this deep thinker who comes from this, you know, kind of tragic background, but everyday background that a lot of, you know, folks can identify with. And then, you know, goes to Iraq as a Marine, ends up going to Yale Law School. We won't hold that part against him. And then he is somebody who is speaking up for really the forgotten class all across America. And a big part of that is pushing back against these climate change elitists, who have shut down, you know, the industrial portions of America, who are targeting the coal strips of the world.
Right. I don't want to take anything away from him because he seems like he's doing a fair job at articulating his thoughts and the rest of our thoughts here in middle America. But I was just wondering if maybe you could answer my question of why I didn't see him on my radar.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is that, you know, United States senators, unless they're from Montana, I mean, you know, that a lot of it just, you know, it just becomes so routine that, yeah, there's no reason why you would pay attention to many of these guys. But to the people that have been following things closely, this is a guy who has the America First agenda through and through. He's the 39-year-old version of Donald Trump's Make America Great Again agenda, who can carry that agenda forward for generations to come, which is why some folks are very excited about his selection. Owen, great question, though. Thanks for the call, and thanks for your service. Let's see. Tom in Billings. Tom, what's on your mind?
How are we doing, Aaron?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm not too bad. Something is stinking in the potato bin here with this shooter, and whether he's using a 5.56, I mean, or a 223 or a NATO round, 150 yard shot. I mean, I'm a certified sharpshooter. I've done 3 years at the Quigley shoot in Forsyth.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. I'm going to... And you don't use a 223. I mean, I've shot a 1911 at 150 yards and hit a quarter. Something isn't right here. Why was there no drones? The bullseye of, in the military, and other agencies, I've protected heads of state. I've been involved in that, and it's a bullseye. You go from this to this. Where is it? What are they going to do? They're gonna hold a town of 6,000 people with 12 people in their sheriffs or their law enforcement department?
Well, it was crazy. It was crazy. I think Governor Greg Gianforte, when we talked about this yesterday, he described it as a chip shot, being that close to the president, being allowed to get that close on the rooftop to the president. Dan Bongino, who's a retired Secret Service guy himself, said he's shot a pistol from that far away, let alone a rifle, right? And Tom, you're right. It's not just that something doesn't add up. A lot of things don't add up. There is so much that does not add up with this whole, as you put it, stinky scenario. Tom, thanks for the call. We'll get to more of your phone calls right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Had the agents assigned to guard Donald Trump that day. Were not part of his regular detail. I happen to know somebody that was on his regular detail until just a few weeks ago. That got moved. I know that. I also am hearing my sources, a number of them, that are saying that they're trying to blame the Secret Service agents, even the ones that dove on the president and risked their lives. So we'll see where that goes. Passing the buck has now begun. We need an independent, outside-the-agency investigation by real investigators that understand protecting primary targets and understand what snipers do and understand assassins. That's what we need.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The iron law of entitlements is that they are expanded. Just look at the granddaddy of them all, Social Security. Established in 1935, the program at first excluded many groups of workers, including railroad workers and medical doctors. It didn't pay benefits to surviving spouses. There was no early retirement benefit, no inflation adjustment. It didn't contain a disability benefit. The benefits were so paltry that Congress raised both taxes and benefits substantially in 1950. Before 1935, the very idea of an entitlement program, voted on by one group of politicians who then obligate all future politicians to continue, was unfamiliar. Today, there are so many such programs, especially at the federal level, that other spending looks small by comparison. The inertia of such programs and their upward ratcheting growth trajectories has helped to create the mountains of debt we have today. I'm Patrick Barkin.
Hooters Lounge and Casino, 1517 Broadwater Avenue, brought to you in part by Briggs Distributing and Beartooth Harley Davidson.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so those who may not be familiar with J.D. Vance, Donald Trump's running mate, Dean in Billings actually sent us a message on the Montana Talks app that came in yesterday. And then I also got a chance to see Dean out at the Blue Cat in Huntley for our event after the show yesterday. So, Dean, it was great to see you. But he says this, for those who don't have time or the inclination to read J.D. Vance's hillbilly elegy, it is a great award-nominated two-hour movie that was released November 22nd on Netflix, starring Glenn Close as Mama, who is fantastic. Did I say that right? Any hillbillies out there, did I mispronounce that there? Recognized her voice, but couldn't figure out who she was until we looked it up. Worth watching, he says. Let's see. We got Lucas Schubert in Kalispell. Lucas, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the whole ordeal with the Secretary of State going on and the ballot initiatives. So the Secretary of State, basically, she's following the law and saying that, listen, if someone is an inactive voter, that their signature does not count for signature gathering. Which, when you look at the law, that's actually what it says. And, in fact, part of that statute was actually written by a Democrat legislator recently. However, now Democrats, and I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I believe that the lieutenant governor candidate, Raff Grayville, on the Democrat ticket, is actually the one that filed this lawsuit. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to force the Secretary of State to count signatures that she shouldn't count. And the reality is that these judges and these lawyers are insanely corrupt. And I think, if just listening to this show and just listening to the news nationally, you know, most people know this, but it is absolutely the same exact thing that happened to President Trump, where they go after him just bold-facedly, completely corrupt. Our judges here in Montana are the exact same way. And so this judge recently ruled here, Mike Menahan, I believe is his name, that the Secretary of State has to keep counting these ballots. And so the reality is they are going to keep doing this. They are going to keep being more and more bold in their complete ignoring the law, ignoring the Constitution, doing whatever they want. And you might think that, oh, well, if they're going to these lengths to break the law, to ignore the Constitution, then maybe it's for a good reason. Not even close. What it's for is to allow in an initiative on the ballot that would allow abortion up until birth, killing kids right before they're about to be born.
Yeah.
And also, the other one, by the way, is the election one, and they're trying to make our election system closer to Washington and California. So that's what these judges are going at great lengths to break the law in order to do.
That's right. You have a state, it's so well said here by Lucas Schubert. You have a liberal judge who had a 100% voting record with Planned Parenthood when he served in the legislature as a Democrat, siding with Planned Parenthood, ordering the Secretary of State to break Montana law and to violate the Montana Constitution to push his radical abortion agenda. You summed it up well, Lucas. Thanks for the call. Sorry we're short on time. We'll get back to more phone calls coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Crazy to see what's going on in this country. Look, some of you, you know, you're like, man, I don't even have time to think about the pain that's taking place in our country right now because I've got pain in my knees. I've got pain that's overwhelming, pain in my hips, pain in my back. Well, if that's you, let me tell you about an option that is now available on the ground right here in Montana. QC Kinetics has hundreds of clinics all across America, and they specialize in regenerative medicine. And what we're talking about natural biologics, where they use your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue without the downtime of surgery and without the dangerous potential of getting hooked on those opioid drugs. They've now got a clinic here in Montana, and you can get a free consultation. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.